Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Well, CBS gets to do the dramatic pauses before they start. I want to do dramatic pauses. It seems fun. WFHR. No, it doesn't work like that. No. James J. here with you at 7:04 on the clock. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
Good start to the day for all of you. Hopefully, if you're starting it with us, it should be. We got some fun stuff lined up for you for this Wednesday. We're going to kick things off this hour. We're going to talk a little bit about planes. We've got the worst thing to eat on a plane. That's coming up.
Anything.
Three airplane bathroom tips from a flight attendant. We also have that coming up.
Okay.
We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar in a little bit as well. We also, in the 8 o'clock hour, are going to kick things off with our, we're going to wrap up our weirdest state laws.
Oh.
Part four and the final part. We got to wrap them up. We're up to 40. We can get through the last 10.
We turned this into a serial, man. It took
really
a long time to get through these.
And episode 19 of... we will wrap that up in the kick off the 8 o'clock hour. We'll kick off the 8 o'clock hour with our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. We will catch up with them with a live update. Then we'll get into those weirdest state laws. A little later in the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. After Melissa's news in that 8 o'clock hour, we'll also hear from our friends at Quality Plus Printing with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Nice.
Who knows what Phil will have for us today to add to our lexicon?
Yes.
9 o'clock hour, we got some entertainment news in there. And I also want to get into a couple of other fun ones that we've got for you, too. I have the 15 silliest myths people still believe.
Okay.
Oh.
We're going to tackle that in the 9 o'clock hour.
All right.
We're going to have some fun with that one. So all this coming up for you and plenty more. It's live radio. You put the three of us together. Who knows what can happen?
Chaos.
Yes. Melissa, how you doing this morning?
Well, you know, my voice is not the best this morning.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But other than that, I am okay.
All right. Well, if you need to if you need to time out at any point, please let us know.
We'll stick it out as long as I can here.
Okay. All right. I feel for you. It doesn't hurt, does it?
Only if I try to talk too loud.
Okay. Because we don't want to. You're just going to make it work. You know, you're never going to heal if we keep you talking. So
that's right.
Right.
Which is sad because today was the day I was going to ask Melissa a lot of questions.
No. Of course you were. Yeah. I planned this, James.
It's all those sporting events she goes to and yelling. That's what did it, you know.
I think one of the things that I enjoy about Melissa is the versatility she has and the flexibility she has with her voice. Mm-hmm. I was talking to her the other day about it, that when her and I are hanging out in the morning show, it's a lot of fun. And you just get Mel and Melissa and her voice and everything. But in the news, I feel like you get a little bit, it's still Mel, you hear it, you can tell it's her, mm-hmm. but she is a little more direct and specific, but not unfeeling. Like, there's, it's not monotone, and I appreciate that. I like the way she delivers the news. So you already know I like her voice, but I'm kind of digging your voice like this, Mel.
Pat said the same thing, and you know what? There's something I'd like to tell you, gentlemen, and I can't because the FCC would have an issue problem with it. But today our listeners get the whiskey and cigarettes version of my voice on the news. We'll see how that goes over.
What was she doing last night? Man.
If I saw Melissa with a cigarette and whiskey, I would think that it wasn't her. All right, so there is an invasion of the body snatchers. It actually has happened. Okay, all right. What have you done with Melissa? Where are the pods? Just tell me. They're in the attic. What a lazy place to hide the pods.
Yeah,
hide them in the attic. Yeah. What a lazy place. Like, I mean, not even trying. No wonder we found aliens.
Basement would make more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basement would make perfect sense. It's cooler down there.
Yeah.
I would think the pods would like that. I don't know. Moist. I don't know.
You know.
I don't want to, presume alien culture, alien life. I have no idea. I did have a couple places I wanted to start. We'll get to that in a moment. So, Seth, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Sun is shining.
Yeah.
We got the team behind us, so let's play two.
Yeah, right on. Let's play two. Speaking of sports, we usually go to Florida with our That Ain't Right stories. We're going to go to kick off our show with a good story from Florida.
All right.
A 60-year-old Florida man bested a Guinness World Record when he completed 3,264 push-ups in an hour.
Whoa.
Rob Sterling said he decided to take on the Guinness World Record for most push-ups in 1 hour for a male after learning that Australian Daniel Scally set the total at 3,182 in April of 22.
Okay. Recent. Okay.
Sterling said he had already unofficially broken the record during a conference in Miami, so he decided to make an official attempt, setting his personal goal at 3,200. The athlete ended up beating his own goal with 3,264.
Wow.
I remind you, Mr. Sterling is 60.
Wow.
There's a one-minute world record as well. It's 144 push-ups in 1 minute. I work out four times a week, and part of my workout, I do a little bit of yoga to start off, and then I jump into my routine with my punching bag, and then I do some push-ups and sit-ups and everything. And I'm not going to tell you how many push-ups I do, but it isn't even a fraction, like a breath of what Mr. Sterling does.
That's remarkable.
At the end of my push-ups, I'm usually at the end like, all right, yeah, I got just a little more. Like halfway through my work, I just got to push through. I'm almost done.
Oh.
I'm 46.
Yeah.
This is a superhero right here. Like, this is the guy we should be making movies about and everything. Yes, forget exactly. About Iron Man and all that. We can make a movie about this guy.
Apparently I have to wait till you're 60 to be in that kind of shape. So right. You have something to look forward to.
Mel and I were talking about this yesterday, about how we're seeing more and more of this, of people 50 and up in great shape. And yeah. It's not because of plastic surgery or these things.
No.
It's we understand the human body more. We understand the brain more. We are living longer. We've just seen reports of this in the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings are living longer than they ever have. So there's all of that. There's plenty of other factors that do keep the population down, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an interesting, development to see more and more of these kind of stories.
And now they're breaking all our records. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Man.
Used to be young people breaking records. Yeah, now it's going to be the reverse. I love it. I like it. I also like the idea, and I don't mean this in a macabre way or anything, but of breaking a record and then kind of like going out. I don't know. I don't know what it is about me, but there's something about that. Like, it just seems like if you're going to break a record, doing it when you're older seems like a good time
there
to do
you
it.
Go.
You know, it's like,
I'm done.
And I'm out. I'm done. Like, it's when you tell a good joke at a party and you just want to end right there, like just walk out, even if it's 7 at night or something.
Yeah,
like,
I'm done now.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
I don't have to. Then you don't have to see anyone break your record.
Yes.
You're done.
I'm thinking this is not a bad idea. We go to New Brunswick next, where a couple who initially thought a burglar had broken into their home discovered the invader was somebody different. Ray and Katie O'Donnell said that they arrived at their Hampton home from a trip to the grocery store to find a window that had been broken. The couple initially thought that there was a burglar inside, but quickly discovered the culprit was a deer that made its way to the basement.
Oh no.
Through a window.
The couple's son, Colin O'Donnell, came to the house with a friend to help usher the animal out of the house. Colin posted a video to Facebook documenting the attempts to eject the trespasser. A Department of Natural Resources officer soon arrived at the home and was able to encourage the deer to run up the stairs and out the door. The Department of Natural Resources said the deer did not appear to be seriously injured, but the O'Donnells said the animal left a trail of destruction through the house.
Oh, no doubt.
No surprise there.
He was quite the party animal.
Thank you,
everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You can leave now, but for other reasons.
I will go. I will excuse myself. I want to apologize to everybody. I'd like to apologize to civic media. I like to...
The litany of shame here, yes.
That literally was one of those moments where I didn't read the article beforehand. I just saw the headline, and as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh, this should be funny. And as I'm saying it, I'm cringing. I don't know if you could tell, but I was cringing as I was saying
a little bit. Yeah, a little bit there.
One more for you to kick off the morning here before we get into our national day of calendar. This is an interesting one. A Baltimore golf course celebrated the end of the winter season with its annual Superintendent's Revenge Scramble. It's an event that they do.
Okay.
It turns the course into an obstacle course for golfers and their balls.
Awesome.
The Saturday event at Mount Pleasant Golf Course saw golfers dealing with unusual fairway and green hazards, including giant box fans, tractors, wooden pallets, garden hoses, hay bales, and more.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, man. The golf course's website states the goal of the superintendent's yeah, Superintendent's Revenge Scramble is to make the day interesting and fun for the grounds staff and players alike. That's a very cool idea.
That is a very cool idea.
I like it.
I have to say, though, man, golf is hard enough without, like, obstacles all over the fairways. Oh, man.
For the longest time, I've thought, well, you know, they want the ratings in golf better. You don't need Tiger Woods. You need a windmeal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
make it mini golf.
Mini golf.
Yeah, mini golf. Blown up. Yeah.
I
want to
see
it.
Grown men taking this sport extremely seriously, like while they're trying to wait for the windmill to come, or Abraham Lincoln to open his legs perfectly so they can kick the ball through or something. I want to see the greatest golfers in the world doing this. But then I actually watched golf once. And I realized, oh, golf is already hard.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I didn't realize that. As somebody who's not a huge golf fan, my brother's like, Jimmy, you know, James, you know it's hard already, right?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's a tough. Still, I stand by my statement. I want to see the greats. When I was young, I was a big fan of Chichi Rodriguez. I thought he was awesome, not only because of that name, but he was flamboyant.
Yeah,
he would
theatrical. Yeah,
yeah, he'd do the fencing
the
thing
sword
or whatever.
Thing,
yeah,
yep.
And everything. I thought he was perfectly made for a mini golf course, and I actually had a dream once where I was playing mini golf with him and my brother. I was 20. I would love to say that I was a kid or something. I was like 20, 21 when it happened or something. Nick had just started getting into golf and it popped in my brain. I actually think that'd be kind of a lot of fun though. When they got the off season. Well, you know, I don't mean maybe in tournament play or something like that, but in the off season, maybe as they do the thing right now where they got two golfers and then usually two quarterbacks face off in Vegas or whatever.
Yeah, on a pro-am.
Yeah, and they do it like as a pay-per-view or whatever.
Right.
Do something for like that for mini golf, but do it for charity.
Yeah.
Like raise a bunch of money for charity and everything.
I think that'd be fun.
That would be cool.
You might get more people to watch the sport.
It'd be fun. To tune in for that, yeah.
I'd watch that.
More people to play mini golf.
Yeah.
That's true.
It is that is one of those things. I don't even want to look that up of if people are still playing mini golf because I hate the idea of people not playing mini golf anymore.
I think they are.
I think so.
Well, I'm just looking at the area here. We've got a couple of really good mini golf courses around here, and they're pretty popular. So I think they're okay.
And there's several in the Dells.
Yeah. Madison's got some.
Yeah. That one in there.
There's a really great one in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yes, yes. We have a great one in Wisconsin Rapids. And that one in the Dells you're talking about, Melissa, is fun. That's a fun one to go to.
Oh, there's several of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of the big one.
The Pirates Cove one.
Yeah, Pirates Cove. When you're on the main road and you see, that one's insane. That was
90
fun.
Holes there if you want to play 90.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I love it. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back with our National Day of Calendar and plenty more fun. It's Melissa, Seth, and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James with you. It is time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this March 8th, 2023. It is National Proofreading Day.
All right.
The day my editor just cringes so much. If I don't have a set editor, but I've had a couple of people professionally editing with my late past year.
Mm-hmm.
These are people that are ready to retire now. Like, they're done. Like this one girl, she's been doing it for like 30 some years or whatever. Wonderful lady. Been nice enough to help me out and everything. I think that I've driven her to it. Not only like insanity would be one thing, like retirement insanity, where I feel like I've pushed her to that.
Can't do it anymore. I just can't.
Grammar and I don't get along very well. Do you cringe when you see a document filled with misspelled words? Are you friends? Are you the friend that everyone asks to read over the projects before they are sent out? Then this holiday is for you. I thought that might be you, Mel. I thought that might be. Yep. Heck, I've wanted to send you stuff. In 2011, Judy Beaver created National Proofreader Day in remembrance of her mother, Flo. On her website, nationalproofreaderday.com, it's all one word, Judy relates that her mother loved to correct people. She thought by creating the day on her mother's birthday, it would be a fun way to remember her and help people take more time to proofread their work.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Yes.
One of the fun things about grammar to me, and I don't use the words fun and grammar often. This may be the only sentence I ever say that. You can get better at this. You can get better. It is something that is learnable. Yeah. It is a skill that you can. It is actually, in trying to get better at grammar, is how I ended up having somebody say, do you have dyslexia? And I'm like, no, I don't have dyslexia. And they, after a couple of times of this happening, and this teacher being one of the people I look up to, I decided to take a test and go to a doctor and find out, I have minor dyslexia.
Yep.
That might not have come up without proofreading. I only gone the whole rest of my life thinking, I'm just bad at spelling and really, really, really bad at grammar.
Why is this writing all like Yoda wrote it? What is going on here?
Yes, basically, yes. I like Yoda and Jack Kerouac did a book together or something. That's what my writing is like sometimes. It's bad. It's bad. This is something that we can all get better at. And I do admire the people that are very good at this.
Yeah, me too.
Melissa is very good at this.
And technology has really improved to be able to help make it better. Like, I'm very impressed with Google Docs. Not only will it suggest a completion of the sentence, it will fix if you do the wrong, like, tense or the wrong, there.
Yeah, right.
Even if the word is spelled right, if it's not correct in the sentence, it will make a suggestion to you now. So, yeah. I don't know. There's not a lot of excuses to not get it right, James.
You're right. You're absolutely right. This is why I've had so many laptops break on me, because they're just done. They're done. They're like,
they quit on you, yeah.
I'd rather go to a electronic pile than deal with this guy one more time. He's got the big weird hands. He's all over my laptop. National Peanut Cluster Day. I'm not sure what that is. What is a peanut cluster? It just seems like a bunch of peanuts charging at me. that just seems very messed up.
I'll give these peanuts whatever, mate. They're stampeding.
I will not become peanut butter. Who doesn't love a sweet treat to make the day seem special? National Peanut Cluster Day brings the sweet and salty combination right to perfection. Peanuts added to the chocolate really create a candy that has been pleasing people for generations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you can you can do it with like marshmallows and peanut, I can't remember the name of it, like a payday or something like that.
That's kind of
a peanut cluster thing. Yeah.
Okay,
or a nut roll.
Yeah,
yes,
salted nut roll kind of thing. Yeah, yep. That's it.
That is one of my mom's go-to chocolate bar. I like to grab my mom and dad chocolate bars or candy or something like that, just as something just for fun.
There you go.
Because they don't do that stuff for themselves at all. So my dad, it's white chocolate, which blows my mind. I never would have thought that. The reason I like dark chocolate is because of my father. My father, if you could make chocolate like literally black, it wouldn't be dark enough for my dad when I was a kid. Now he likes the white chocolate. Yeah, my mom, it's the paydays and stuff. Or the Fabro-Jay or whatever those.
Ferrero,
whatever, yeah.
Ferrero-Jay.
Ferrero-Jay,
there you go.
Yeah, those things.
See, Seth knows everything.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Pretty much. You really
all
do.
All the important things, right? Yeah, okay.
Here's an important one. A National Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Day. It's a very good one.
Yes. Wow, that's a really long registered dietitian nutritionist.
Some jobs, I don't know. You really show how much you love them with how long the title is of the job.
Like, exactly.
Can't imagine
what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist.
What do I do for a living? Sit down. It's going to take me a minute to tell you. It's a long title.
Yeah.
A day has been set aside to honor these awesome people, the wonderful people who make it their life's work to learn about nutrition and how it affects our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They are in hospitals, doctor's offices, and anywhere that people are looking at how to get and stay healthy.
Very good.
Big thank you to all of them out there. And as long as we're talking about nurses, a big shout out to all the nurses out there.
Yeah.
Big thank you.
We appreciate you.
Really, really appreciate you. It is International Women's Day, Women's Day.
Yes.
Mothers, sisters, wives, girlfriends, fiancés, all the above. What would we ever do without them? I don't want to think about that. nobody.
Well, you wouldn't be here.
I was going to say the human race would be gone.
Why? Okay, I don't want to think about this. Yes, nobody can honestly say we don't owe. Nobody can honestly say we don't owe an enormous amount to women in our lives. From the mothers who made us chicken soup when we were sick as children. How about the mothers who made us? to the sisters who helped us decide what to wear on our first date. Thank you, Jillian. To the wives who somehow managed to juggle both a career and a family, never missing a beat. To the single parents out there, to the single moms out there that continue to do the work that they do while being an amazing superhero mom. Mm-hmm. Women's Day is all about celebrating these incredible people and showing them how much we love, respect, and value them. Admire, adore, and appreciate them.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate you too, Melissa.
Yes.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Very
I was
much.
Waiting.
Very,
I was waiting
very,
for you to
very
say
much.
That.
I didn't know if Seth was going to say something before me, so I was trying to give him a chance.
I'm being sincere.
And then it just ended up being that. It ended up being like coming across that way. Yeah.
Just like a left-handed compliment. Oh, by the way, Melissa, you're, you know, thanks, whatever, you know.
I'm the left-hand Seth.
So you get left-handed compliments, that's why.
I guess so. I'll take it.
In all of our personal lives, I think today's a great day to take a moment and appreciate the women in your lives. I've mentioned this many times. The strongest, smartest woman I've ever known is my mother. The strongest people I've known are my grandmothers, my Nana, my grandmother, my mom. I don't know, my sister is one of my favorite people in the world, one of my best friends in the world. My daughters are two of the most amazing human beings I will ever meet, and I can't get enough time with them and talk to them nearly enough. Mm-hmm. Our building here. Where you go to the heart of WFHR and Pam Hilke. Mm-hmm. You look at the head of our sales department, our marketing department. The reason we have the best sales and marketing department in this industry, in this state, is Steph. And our station evolved and got so much better when Melissa joined our team. Mm-hmm. Ashley is our newest member of this team. Our building alone, you know, is different than it used to be. You can talk to Chuck. You can talk to a lot of people in this industry. Mm-hmm. Radio was a boys' club for a very, very long time. I am proud and happy to say that this station is the opposite. We are outnumbered, Seth.
Yes.
And Chuck, we're outnumbered.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
But that's all right. That's all right.
I don't mind that.
Notice the station's been doing really good the last couple of years. Like, I don't think that's a coincidence.
No.
It is one of the most effortless things in the world to think of a woman to appreciate. It will take you no time at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I have to put a shout out, of course, to my lovely wife Beth, who I literally would not be here if it weren't for her, because she had to move here to take a call. But because of that, now I'm here, and everyone gets to hear me on the radio. Aren't you lucky? Oh.
We're glad to have you, Seth.
We appreciate the women in our lives. We appreciate the women of the world. And one of the greatest ways we can show that we appreciate them is to pay them equally, to treat them equally, and to make sure that our kids grow up in a world where, wait a minute, there was a time where women weren't paid the same as men, where women weren't treated the same as men. Yeah, little girl, there was a day that was like that way, way, way long ago.
It's not that hard.
No.
It's really easy.
No.
We can easily do that.
If you really care about women, put your money where your mouth is. Do your homework. Make sure you are voting people into office. You are, working at places that are going to promote and support women, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not difficult to do. But you can't just say, Happy International Women's Day, ladies. Hey, you're great. And that be the end of it.
Right.
If this day is to mean anything, it's international. This is around the world.
Yes.
So around the world, we should be doing something about this. Today should be a day to make efforts and strides towards women having equality.
Yeah.
It's also.
Well said.
It's also as I talk over Melissa on International Women's Day.
Well, nice you can't
job.
See her, so you know.
No, one more second, Mel. I got more to say. You can talk in a second. Just let me finish. Sorry, Melissa. Sorry. You know what? You could be nasty today to me, Melissa, because it is Be Nasty Day.
Oh, good. Is I don't it? Know how to do that, James.
I was going to say, is that a correlation, International Women's Day and Be Nasty Day? Wait a minute, that's a weird juxtaposition there. I don't know.
It's Be Nasty Day, Miss Jackson.
Oh, it's about Janet Jackson.
It's
okay,
all
there
about
we
Janet.
Go.
Yeah. No, it's not, but it should be. I'd be fine with that. It's true that some people can tend to fall all over themselves to be polite, so much so that others tend to take advantage of them. For those who spend the other 364 days of the year focusing on politeness, this day offers an opportunity to be upfront, frank, and honest. It's time to be nasty day.
Wait a minute. So why is being upfront, frank, and honest being nasty?
Yeah,
is that just being
that was my question.
Yeah. Upfront, frank, and honest? That's not.
I don't know. I think it's maybe not the best word choice.
No.
But I get the intention.
I do too, yeah. I hear what they're saying.
My Aunt Pat, I love her to death. I've mentioned her many times on the air that the ODC helped her and changed her life, and Pam Ross and the work that they did and such. And my aunt was. Was stuck maturity-wise in her brain at like 16 after her car accident. And they really helped her with this. Mm-hmm. But one of the things she had problem with was being overly polite. And I, to this day, like when somebody overdoes it with sorry, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. And I feel really, really bad for that because most of the times they're not doing it on purpose. It's like a like laughing when you don't intend to laugh, like nervous laughter or something like that. It's it's not an intention, but, you know.
For some.
For some. For some. Some people just are that kind of person.
Yep.
But everybody deserves to have a backbone. And it's not to say that if you're overly polite or nice, you don't have a backbone. But this is often not only the association, but the actual way it is. Mm-hmm. I've known a number of people like this in my life, and today is a great day to get a little nasty. Go ahead, put some Janet Jackson on. Get in your mood.
You can be, but I do want to point out, you can be upfront and frank and honest without being overly nasty.
Oh, yeah.
You can do it in a diplomatic way, so...
Melissa's old roommate, a good friend of ours, and the station here and everything, Laura. Shout out to Laura, International Women's Day. She is incredibly good at this. Like, I think she is so good at tact and so good at, like, being very, like, this is it. So much so, if you ask her, like, I've done this. You ask her how you're looking something, she's going to be honest with you. It's going to be real. It's going to be real.
So don't ask her.
I got to appreciate people like that. Yeah. I always appreciate that kind of thing out of somebody. And it's a fun day, too, to kind of, like, I wouldn't take this too crazy, go too far with it, but you can have fun with it.
Yeah.
And it's World Maths Day. World Maths Day.
Maths Day.
Yeah, these
it's
words.
A plural.
The words where they're plural, it sounds like you don't know how to say the actual word.
Yeah, exactly.
Maths Day.
I don't know. I always loved that in like the UK they call it maths.
Maths.
I heard I do my maths.
I didn't know that.
Which
I
is
like
actually
that.
More correct because there are, you know, many different kinds of math. So yeah, that's actually correct. Yeah.
Whether you love it or hate it, maths is an essential part of our daily lives. From simple addition to complex calculus, it helps us make sense of the world around us. Mm-hmm. We're not able to do what we're doing right now without math.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
And probably 90% of the jobs out there need math. So
you need some kind of math. Yep,
yeah.
True.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no. My father is a human calculator.
Right.
And I've always admired that about him. And for him, numbers are simple. There's something very basic and elementary about them for him. I think that when you have something like that with numbers, that is a gift.
It is.
That is a gift.
Yes.
I think we all have met that person that likes math or is good at math, and, like, that's it. Like, you've met, like, 2-3 people in your life like that, not too many. You know? Unless you were part of math club in school or something like that. You haven't met a whole lot of them. It just shows you how rare that can be. We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, have some more fun. Before we do that, though, I didn't want to mention earlier I was talking about a mini golf course here in Wisconsin Rapids. And I didn't mention their name right away because I wanted to double check something. Newman's Mini Golf, of course, is who we're talking about. They advertise with us. Huge fans of our friends over at Newman's.
Yep.
Mini Golf over on First Street. I wanted to double check. They are opening in May.
Yes, indeed.
So they will be opening their doors in May, opening the course in May, I should say. So keep that in mind. Newman's Golf Course also has a great Facebook page. Be sure to like their Facebook page and keep up on all the cool stuff that they are doing over there. And again, Newman's will be open in May. And I still think we need to do a team building exercise. All of us, all of us got to go over there and do some mini golfing.
We should do a live broadcast play-by-play, what we should do.
Seth, that would be fun.
Facebook Live.
Like
we do a Facebook Live.
Yes,
that's
exactly
what we do. We do a Facebook Live. I'd be okay with doing a remote.
We each take turns announcing as the others playing.
I'm serious about this. Like, I'm dead serious about this. I'm liking this already.
Good idea.
We're going to work on this behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You guys go ahead and listen to Melissa's news, and we'll be back with more. We're going to talk about planes when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Oh, that beat. Classic beat.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you're having a good one out there. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. Melissa's going to be with us for a little bit longer. We're going to try to get her.
I'm going to duck out early, guys.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Understandable.
Got to save her voice for the important thing she does, the news. So,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Not this silliness here.
Yes. Do appreciate you joining us, though, Mel.
Yeah,
for sure.
So we got some plane talk to have right now. You know, there was a photo on social media that went viral where a man was eating a full rack of ribs on a plane.
Oh, my.
He'd apparently brought it on with him.
Okay, a full rack. That's
huge.
Big. That's a big rack of ribs, man.
That led to a lot of discussion, both about being considerate to others and about whether you'd even want to eat certain foods on a plane, considering the tight space, the messiness, and the difficulty of getting to a sink. Plus, you didn't bring enough for everybody.
Yeah, come on, man.
I think school rules should exist on a plane.
Yeah.
You know, you bring enough for everybody. You bring enough for the whole class or don't bring any at all. I don't know. I'm just kidding. BuzzFeed asked people about 32 ridiculous foods and asked them to vote on whether or not they'd want to eat them on a plane. The ones that most people would not eat are pretty absurd. 96% of people wouldn't eat a crawfish boil on a plane.
Oh, well, come on now.
95% wouldn't do oysters. Also, couldn't fully enjoy a large bowl of beans.
Oh, my. No, that would be bad.
70.
How did soup not make the top of the list?
Yeah, soup was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah,
soup
right.
was the
yeah.
first thing I thought of.
Exactly.
Yes. There's no soup that would be good on a plane.
No.
Or a train. Or you know.
I will not eat it on a train.
Yes. There you go. 77% wouldn't eat ribs on a plane, no matter how many wet naps they had. But more people said no to egg salad, hard-boiled eggs, an entire rotisserie chicken, sloppy joes, corn in the cob, tuna, and a shrimp cocktail. Most of the foods on the list were meant to be problematic, but some weren't as bad as others. Only 12% said that they wouldn't eat sour cream and onion potato chips. 13% would refuse to eat a burrito. And 23% would pass on a large burger.
Okay.
Others that a majority of people would bring into a plane include an entire pizza, sushi, nachos, a plate of fried chicken, a meatball sub, and a pomegranate.
Oh, jeez.
Which they wouldn't bring?
That they would bring.
They would bring all this.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, this...
One item did get a special mention, a large jawbreaker. 64% wouldn't do it, while 36% said it's a good in-flight snack.
A jawbreaker.
Because it lasts a long time, I guess. I don't know. Wow. So I'm sensing a pattern, but there's no consistency here. So it's whether the food that you're eating is messy, or it is overly aromatic. You know, has a strong smell.
Future aromatics.
Nice.
Very good. Yes, you're 100% right. So, but it's funny that there's the disconnect because people would still bring a burrito. Burritos can get pretty messy.
Yeah.
I mean, they can make a big mess and nachos. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, some of those sounded pretty ridiculous. Yeah, crawfish boil. Yeah,
Who brings that on a plane?
Where can you find one in an airport? Maybe in New Orleans. I don't know, but seriously, that seems a little silly to me.
I was surprised last time I was on a plane that so many people brought food on with them, like in takeout containers and stuff. I found that surprising.
And that might be more of a newer thing too, because I mean, obviously, you're not going to get any food on a plane anymore, you know.
Well, no, you do. My last flight I was on, and it wasn't bad. Of course, I was in first class by a fluke. But
oh well, I'm sorry. I meant in, you know, us normal people, you know.
I travel first class all the time, and she's absolutely right.
Well, those crackers that they give you are pretty awesome, though.
Okay.
Those, like, butter ones. And in the regular, like, in economy, I'm talking.
Right,
which is where I always fly, guys.
Yeah.
As somebody who has spent my whole life poor and usually in poor settings, I think that if I was in first class, they'd have to kick me out. Like, I'd probably stay there. Like, all right, sir, it's time to get off the flight. And I don't know. I'm not getting off this plane. People treat me great. I'm not getting off this thing. Let's bring
Never
it back.
Leaving.
We'll go round trip, everybody. Let's keep going. Go on, flight attendant. Get in there.
Just
get in there.
Gas the plane up. Let's go.
Come on, Mr. Pilot. What are you doing there? You're looking at me. Get in there and go fly the plane. I've mentioned on the air before, the longest flight I've been on coming back from California to O'Hare, but I had it was a roundabout trip and all these things, so it was a long flight. 6-hour flight, I believe. Longest flight I've ever been on. There was an old lady. I had the back row all to myself, and I was so excited. And then this older lady comes and sits on the plane, and her granddaughter, I believe, I'm not sure, but asked me to help keep an eye on her because she had never flown before.
Oh, wow.
And she didn't speak the greatest English, and she, you know, was a very sweet lady and stuff. She drove me crazy because she asked me what time it was every 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
But that was okay. That was all right because I knew she was nervous. Mm-hmm. What really drove me mad was I'm not trying to be mean here. She smelled like she bathed in curry.
Oh.
Like bathed in it. And I swear my clothes smelled like it after I got off the plane. So for a long time, I couldn't handle curry. I when it comes to foods on a plane, I know a little something about like the long-term effects of this.
Aromatics.
Six hours with that would be a bit much.
Oof. I can't think of any foods like that. I can't think of it, but I don't want to also underestimate because I think eggs is one of those things that can be a smell that, like, in a closed area could really get bad quick.
Mm-hmm.
Poor eggs.
Should certain foods be outlawed on a plane?
Like, I don't think you can do that.
I don't think you can do that.
Not really.
No, but I mean, like, more of like the societal agreement kind of thing. Like hey, we all agree.
Unspoken rules.
Don't microwave fish at work.
Yes, exactly. We all agree. It's not a real law, but we kind of like, hey, don't do that. That's not cool.
It's a social nicety.
Yeah. Are you guys telling me I got to stop bringing my Limburger cheese in here?
Yes.
Is that what you're telling
me?
This roundabout way.
It was a whole big setup, Seth.
Yep. The whole article.
Glad you got
it. But it's so tasty.
Thank God it finally sank in.
You got the message, jeepers.
We're going to take a break right here. We're going to come back with 3 airplane bathroom tips from a flight attendant.
Okay.
Which you might need after that burrito.
There you go.
Very nice.
Nice job, Mel. Appreciate you joining us this morning, Melissa. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. And keep in mind, everybody, after the three of us are done hanging out with you, taking it to the top of the hour, we'll have CBS News come in. After that, we'll be joined live and direct from our friends at the WeatherEye Weather Center, probably talk with Paul Trombley and get an update about what Mother Nature has in store for us. I know we got a bit of stuff coming up in the next couple of days here and stuff, but the temperatures are looking pretty good.
Yeah.
You can't argue with that.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's sunshine.
Yes, indeed.
When we're done talking with Paul, we're going to wrap up our weirdest state laws. We're going to get into that in the 8 o'clock hour. That's coming up. Right now, I got to wrap up our plane conversation.
Okay.
A former flight attendant says airplane bathrooms are even grosser than people think. Here are 3 tips. I've actually gone into a plane bathroom two or three times, I think, and all the times I've flown, and I've flown a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 2-3 times I've done it. Like, no. I go, not to say that the bathrooms at O'Hare Airport or LAX or anything are any better.
They're bigger.
They're bigger for sure.
A little more room.
Yeah.
Here are the top 3 tips. touch as few surfaces as possible.
It kind of goes without saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
That one more confirms what we already knew.
Yeah, exactly.
It was not insane for us to pull our sleeve up as far as we can, even on a short sleeve shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Just so our hand doesn't have to touch the knob.
Yep.
That starts with opening the door. If it's the accordion type that folds in, push it open with your foot. And if you have to touch the sink handles or toilet seat, use a paper towel or toilet paper as a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your shoes on.
Yeah.
If you took them off to get comfortable, put them back on before you go in the bathroom.
Wait a minute here.
There might be water on the floor or worse. A lot of guys aren't very good at aiming, especially when there's turbulence.
That's good. I thought it was a faux pas to take your shoes off in a plane. I thought you weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Only if your feet stink.
Well, what if you don't know, though? I mean, what if there's some gray area there?
Yeah.
I would err on the side of caution with that. And don't be walking around with no shoes on. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, don't walk around like that. No.
Come on now.
Being the person that I am, and I've always been this way, I'm the kind of person, I go into a room and I look for the exits, and I have to sit with my back to the exits.
Right.
I always have been this way. It's just who I am. I know it's silly. I cannot be on a plane or a train or anything else and be that kind of comfortable. Like I not at all like going into these things and, you know, with my fists clenched and expecting something bad to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if something bad happens, I'm probably going to want my shoes on.
Yes.
Although I suppose if a plane crashes in the water, maybe
it doesn't really matter.
Maybe your shoes off might actually help.
Anyway.
I digress. It's still where I stand on this. So I've never actually taken my shoes off of a plane.
No, me neither.
I am the kid, though, that still has my mother in the back of my head. Like, I can't wear dirty socks or socks with holes in them. My mother, like, no matter how poor we were, if we were going shoe shopping, Jimmy, do you have your nice socks on? Do you, for the love of God, I'd have to go back in and change if I didn't. It's a big deal to her. She did a number on me with that one.
Funny.
So that one, not me, but I don't know. Do you guys have done that? Have taken your shoes off on a plane before?
Never.
I have.
Mm. But your feet don't.
I'm one of those people.
I'm sure Melissa's feet smell like roses.
Yes. Yes.
Well, guys, I take my shoes off all the time at the station, and you haven't complained yet.
You're right. So. That's a good point.
In the summer, I do that now, too, because of her. Because I saw Melissa doing it, and I'm like, that's really comfortable. I'm doing that.
I don't want to look at James' feet. What are you starting a trend here?
No, my feet are dinosaurs. My feet are that monster at the end of the horror movie that keeps popping back. Yeah. Don't brush your teeth in an airplane bathroom. Who's doing that?
Why would you do that?
The water isn't filtered, and the tank it is in doesn't get cleaned enough.
Exactly.
Ooh.
They just top it off between flights, and they're only required to flush and disinfect it every 3 months. I don't even want to wash my hands in there. A study found there's often E. coli and other bacteria in the water. So if you want to brush your teeth, wait to use an airport sink or use bottled water to wet the bristles. And obviously never drink the water from an airplane sink.
Well, it says it right on the sink.
I don't even know if you want it to touch your hands.
Water.
Sorry, Melissa. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's okay. And now I kind of don't want to wash my hands, though. I'm bringing alcohol wipes with
me. Yeah, I was going to say bring like some hand sanitizer or something. I know some... they do put them in some bathrooms, the sanitizing, you know, just the sanitizing stuff. So I would say use that instead. Yeah.
As far as I understand it, I've studied the subject a bit, especially with recent news and everything. Mm-hmm. The airplane industry is a profitable industry. You can make good money in this industry. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of requirements. You have to have a good reputation. You have to treat your clientele well.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously safety issues and stuff.
Right.
There's nothing in there about where it's cost effective to have like no running water or anything like that. And I understand it's a plane. How do you get running water? We do this stuff all the time. There's ways to work this out science wise. There's way to work this out math and in technology wise and everything.
Yeah.
Like figure it out. Like
it's surprising, or not surprising, but it's funny that you bring that up, James, because I'm actually just listening to an audiobook by Mary Roach. And it's I won't tell you all about it, but I will tell you that they were talking about the cost analysis that they do on planes for safety, and the cost of a human life lost on a plane is a little over $2 million. So if what they're doing to improve the safety on a plane or the sanitation on a plane is going to cost them more than it would if lives were lost, they won't do it.
Exactly.
It's a business.
Right. Yep.
But $2 million.
That's.
I was kind of surprised by that figure.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to put like a harness safety belts in a plane would cost them $600 million for like one company.
Hmm.
So the amount of lives lost, it's just not worth it for them.
Yep. Wow.
You know, and when it comes to stuff like that, maybe it's on us to, choose different ways of transportation when you can.
Or yeah. Maybe it's on, oversight.
Or some kind of regulation.
Yes.
Oh, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, yeah. Yes,
or requirements.
Yes. I'm getting to the point where I'm done expecting our government to get things done. I'm just expecting people to do stuff now. Mm-hmm. And if we decide that we're not going to use this particular airline because of this particular reason or whatever, money talks. It's more than even laws sometimes. You have your mighty dollar that you have. That can often... You choose how to use that, and that can oftentimes be just as almost as powerful as a vote.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get out of here now. We'll come back with CBS News and our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. But, Melissa, thanks so much for hanging out with us this morning.
Yeah,
kick off
thanks,
the hour.
Guys.
Kick off the
Sorry
show.
Sorry to duck out soon, but,
no.
I got to see if I can do a better newscast this afternoon.
No, no watching any of the Big Ten tournament and losing your voice as you're cheering on these teams or anything, Melissa.
I'll try not
okay?
to scream over here.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
go sing the blues. You got the perfect voice for it now.
She does have a great voice. Singing voice, she does. Thanks for hanging out with us, Mel. You have a good day.
Yep. You too, guys.
Yeah, see ya.
We'll be back with more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR.